Amen. So, I was going to testify, but then I'll just testify now. Every once in a while, I give a report on what's going on in the prison, so I'll just take a moment to share something little that happened last week, but I guess a few weeks. So it was a few weeks back, this gentleman came up for the first time, and he didn't know much at all about Christianity, about God in general. And I always encourage Bible reading. Now, I guess God's Spirit must have really touched that gentleman that day, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. It wasn't very long ago. I wouldn't say it was a month ago. And I always encourage Bible reading because that's so important. There's only so much that I can talk about, and I can't. They need to get in the Bible for themselves. So he come back this week, and at the end, just in tears, he was sharing with me on how in just a couple weeks, he had read the whole New Testament. The whole New Testament, and his New Testament was full of little marks and things underlined and things written in there where God had spoken to him. And as he was sharing with me, in tears, as he was sharing with me on how these things had really ministered to him, and boy, that was encouraging. That was encouraging because you just go there for a couple minutes and you encourage them, and that's all you can really do. But unless they get in it for themselves, it's not going to last. It's not going to amount to anything. Because I only talk to him for a couple of minutes a week, and I don't even make every week. But it was encouraging to know that that man was touched. Amen. And a couple weeks. When's the last time you read the New Testament in a couple weeks? Wow. Well, we would say we don't have that kind of time. And we would sort of be accurate, but we could probably do better than what we're doing. But he had a little more time, but he used the time that he had. Amen. So we're in the Bible in the book of, in the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. One of the kids was guessing John. Almost. I don't think this scripture is in John, but it might be. So Luke chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 5. Amen. Let's open up in prayer. I don't have much. I know sometimes people get nervous when a preacher says he doesn't have much. Because when he has notes, he follows the notes, and then he's done. But when he doesn't have notes, rabbit trails are so easy for preachers. You know what a rabbit trail is, kids? It's where you're talking, and then you don't stay on the point. And you get off on all kinds of different rabbit trails. Okay, we'll try our best not to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time to be in your house this morning to learn about you. God, I ask you to encourage your children through the word, God. Encourage us. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Give us the passion, Lord God, to reignite our hearts, Lord, to honor you and to serve you and to believe in the God of miracles. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we read this scripture in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Could you imagine, kids? I want the kids to imagine here for a second. It's really late at your house. Really, really late. And all of a sudden, a neighbor knocks on your door. And first off, you're scared. You're like, what in the world? And then you're listening from up in your bedroom. And the neighbor says to your mom and dad, hey, I need some bread because I have a visitor and I need some bread. Now, I don't want you to tell me what your parents would say to them. But your parents would probably say, it's late. Like, you should have thought about this a long time ago. Go figure it out yourself. I don't have no bread. But what did this person do? We're going to see what this person would have did. Amen. In verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. So my children are in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. So I can't rise and give anything to you. And that's probably what our parents would say. Verse 8. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. You know what that word importunity means? What does it mean? Does any of the kids know what the word importunity means?
No.
It means persistent. What does it mean if you're persistent? Now, all the kids should know this.
You're pestering.
Casper knows this very well. Mm-hmm. He knows, he might not know what the word persistent means, but Casper wants some things for Christmas. And his mom, I hear it too, but his mom's with him more, hears about monster trucks all the time. Monster trucks. And what is Casper? Casper is being really persistent about what he wants for Christmas. And so that persistency, this person that knocked on the door wouldn't take no for an answer. Wanted bread so he can feed the guests. And he asked again, and then maybe he knocked again, and he knocked again. And the Bible says, because of his persistency, or his importunity, then the person in that house is going to give him what he needs. Then you read verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So there is a principle of God rewarding a persistent believer who believes, who keeps holding the faith. So God's principle is he is going to reward those that are persistent about seeking him. The Bible says in another place that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God wants to bless his people. God wants to meet the needs of his people. Amen. And a lot of times what happens is we stop short of God's blessing and we kind of just give up on the thing. For different reasons. So, now forgive me for this illustration, but I think it is appropriate and it's the best way I can bring this out. So, why is God different than a genie? I believe we all understand the concept of a genie. Kids, what happens when you... Now, this is make-believe, okay? This is not true. But kids, what happens when you rub a lamp? A magic... Well, we don't believe in magic. But in the fairy tale land, what happens when you rub a lamp? What comes out?
A genie.
A genie. So obviously that is not true and that is just a story. And so a genie comes out. And sometimes people treat genies like they treat God. And so what is the difference between a genie and God? Well, quite a lot. And we're going to talk about it just for here in a second. So a genie, you rub the lamp. Whatever you ask, he's going to give you. The idea is he'll give you up to 3 wishes, whatever you ask. And so what is the difference between genie and God? Well, God isn't going to meet every request you make. So how many in here would like $1 million? Eric, put both his hands up in the air. And you know, I'll put both. Oh, yep, I got a thumbs up from Philip. Philip would also like $1 million. We're not going to ask you what you do with it. His mom's probably scared at what he would do with $1 million. But, so God, the difference between, this difference between God and the genie is God knows what's best for us, and the genie doesn't care. The genie's just going to give you whatever you want. And a lot of times what we want will actually cause us to self-destruct. And sometimes we don't even realize it'll cause us to self-destruct, but God also knows the perfect timing for what is right for us. So a genie doesn't care. You want it, you get it. And in reality, genies would be very bad for society and would kill the whole thing. So it's a good thing genies don't. But God understands and God knows what we need in the future and God knows the timing of what we need in the future. But sometimes in our mind, we back off in asking God for something because we don't want to treat God like a genie. So we don't ask God. We quit asking God. Let me explain this in a little depth. And this was kind of on my heart. Sometimes we get worried as adults. Kids are a little more simpler in their mind. And it's just simple for them. But as adults, sometimes The Bible, the principle, remember what the principle is God will reward those that diligently seek Him. The principle is, you knock on the door, and God doesn't give it to you, but you know it's in your heart, and you know it's right, and it's biblical, you keep knocking on the door. Knocking, you shall receive. God's going to open it up. Seeking, you shall find. God's going to give it. So that's the principle, but sometimes, in our mind, as adults, we kind of like, we won't say it, but we kind of like almost think we're treating God like a genie. So we quit asking. We quit pursuing. We kind of just back off in our pursuit of what we know is biblical, what we know God's put in our hearts, what we know is, the Bible says He doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so there's things that God has laid on our heart, and instead of knocking and knocking, you can imagine how annoying it would be if you had a neighbor knock on your door at midnight, and you told him no bread. And as soon as you get back in bed, bam, 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 he knocks on his door again. And then he knocks on his door again. Then he's kicking the door. And then he's trying to bust the door right down. Amen. Because he wants what he wants. And eventually he gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it. Because of the Bible says, because of his importunity, because of his persistency, because of his unwilling to forget, unwilling to let go of, unwilling to just let it pass. But in his mind, you know, and we need to get this way, something needs done. And God is all powerful. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of healing, restoration. He's a God of the mighty, of the powerful, and unwilling to let go at all. And something got inside of that man. He just kept knocking. And so that's the principle of the Bible. But sometimes, you know, we almost think, well, God's not a genie. God knows what I want. I'm kind of just going to back off. I don't want to treat God like a genie. If you're asking God for something that's biblical, if you're asking God for something that is not against His word, that He has put inside of your heart, bust the door down. Don't quit believing. Don't quit holding on to faith. You know, a persistent believer who keeps believing, who keeps holding faith. You know, at times our faith will grow weary, but then there are times when the Spirit of God will encourage our faith. Amen. So just for a second here, we're going to look over at Elijah. And that will help us understand. So 1 Kings chapter 19. Amen. If you turn there, that will help you wake up. Amen. Because I know what it's like when you're sitting back there after you ate a nice meal. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19. So right before 1 Kings chapter 19, God performs a miracle. A miracle of all miracles. Elijah was the man of God, and Elijah believes God for a miracle, and he sees it. I'm not going to tell the whole story, and a lot of, we all know it, maybe some of the kids don't, but he calls fire down from heaven, and the fire licks up the sacrifice, licks up the water, and burns all the wood, and it was a miracle. Has anybody ever seen fire come down from heaven?
No.
So Elijah asked for a miracle and seen it happen. Has anybody ever seen something and they just step back and they go, whoa, wow, that was a miracle of God. So we're talking about a mighty man of God that asked for a miracle of miracles and he saw it. He saw it, okay? And then in the very next portion of Scripture, this is what it says. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Talk about Elijah. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. For I am not better than my fathers. There is no perfect people in the Bible. There is no perfect people here on the earth. The reality is this. We all need God's grace and mercy. This man of God was so discouraged that he sat down and he said, I'm nothing, Lord. You might as well take me. He was discouraged. But I want you to see what happens in verse 5. God's mercy. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked out of coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down him again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So even though he's so discouraged, God's mercy is still blessing him. So you need to understand this principle. Because sometimes we get so discouraged, we quit seeking God's blessing and seeking miracles and seeking and knocking and being persistent. And while Elijah was in this state where he wanted the guy, God was still blessing him. Incredible. God was still blessing the man even in his time of depression. Even in his time of, I might as well die, I'm no good, I'm worthless. And then, at the end of the 40 days, verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? So he's in this cave. We all know the story. He's in this cave. And then all of a sudden, God tries to speak to him through the thunder. And God tries to speak to him through the wind and through the storm. And then all of a sudden, there's a still small voice that speaks to God. You know, before the still small voice spoke to God, spoke to Elijah, God was speaking to Elijah when he was in the cave. Did you look at that? Look at that. In verse 19, you operate your brain. It'll also help you stay awake here. In verse 9, at the end of verse 9, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? That was before the still small voice. Because sometimes we wait for a message from God. But God had actually was speaking to Elijah through the whole thing. Elijah just wasn't receiving relief. He was troubled. He was burdened down. He was, in a way, depressed, and he was discouraged, and he couldn't believe God for a miracle. And at the very beginning of his time in the cave, God was saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? And so God wanted to encourage Elijah. He wanted to get his faith built up again so he could believe God for a miracle. But Elijah was discouraged. And Elijah, in a way, was the one that was refusing to talk to God. Right? So Elijah was refusing to talk to God, and God was trying. The word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Does it say that Elijah responded? He actually did respond in verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and before the Lord pass by. And so then it gets into the strong wind, and it gets into the rain and all of that stuff, and he didn't hear God. But Elijah's response was, Lord, it's just me. Well, you're right. Have you ever said that? Lord, it's just me. It's just me. What can I do? Well, thank goodness we're not the miracle worker. And really, Elijah did respond right in this way. Lord, look at me. Look, there's not much. Lord, I can't do this. I can't do that. This situation's impossible. That's impossible. That's very troubling. I can't do anything about that. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know. And Elijah was exactly right about that. 100% right about that. There was nothing he can do. But thank the Lord he wasn't the miracle worker. Right? Elijah was not the miracle worker. But he was in the presence of a miracle worker. And he just forgot about it. He just forgot about it. Sometimes we put too much on ourselves, but we're not the miracle worker. God is. God's the miracle worker. Because he said, it's just me. Just me. What can I do, Lord? What can I do, Lord? And then all of a sudden, in verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. A still, small voice. In verse 13, this is so precious to me. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? That was the same voice that talked to him at the beginning. But this time it was different, because he realized that he was in the presence of Almighty God. He was in the presence of a miracle worker. Elijah's eyes were opened and he realized, what does the song say? The battle's not mine, said little David. It's yours. The battle belongs to to God. Victory, it is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord to fight my battle. And so Elijah was asked the very same question as when he first answered the cave. But this time, the Bible said he took his mantle and he wrapped his face in it. Why? No doubt because he was weeping. No doubt because he was crying. No doubt because he was emotional. And why was he emotional? He was emotional because he realized that it was not his battle to fight. It was not Elijah's battle to do it all by himself. He felt all alone. He felt like lonely, and the battle was too big for him. But the battle was not Elijah's to fight. And so as soon as he realizes it, and that he's in the presence of the miracle worker, he's in the presence of the God that can do miracles, the God that can turn nothing into something, the God that can make a way where there is no way. As soon as he realizes that, he begins to, I imagine, weep and cry, and he covers his face and his mantle, and he goes back to the entrance of the cave, and God asks him the very same question that he spoke to him when he first entered the cave. What doest thou here, Elijah? But now it was different, because now Elijah's faith was renewed. Faith in what? Faith in God. Not faith in you. Not faith in my ability. Not even faith in pastor or anybody else. I mean, they're good people that can help us. But in Christ alone, I place my faith. In Christ alone. Because that is where my faith is strengthened and my faith is quickened. And from that moment, you can read that Elijah got up and Elijah went to do the will and the work of God, because he believed that he wasn't going to be denied. Not because of his strength, but because of the strength of God Almighty. Because it's not in my ability. I can do nothing of myself. I think that was Paul that said that, but I'll echo it. I can do nothing of myself. It's not of me. It's not of all of me. But the God that I serve is more than able to break the chains of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. Amen. And God is able to give the victory. And my faith is not in me. My faith is in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ has made a way where there was no way. Amen. 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 That's all I have. Amen. Elijah has no faith in believing God for a miracle. And then all of a sudden, his eyes were open to the miracle worker. And he hears that same voice that was speaking all along. God's voice has not quit speaking. God has mercy and still speaks to Elijah in his still small voice. In closing here, just talk about the mercy of God. We don't understand how merciful God is. We don't. Because we get the concept in our heart, and we're not wrong by thinking it. I don't deserve for God to quicken me, stir me. I don't deserve for this good thing to happen. I don't deserve this. And I can't even fix it myself. I can't even change it myself. Elijah was stuck in one of them moments, depressed, looking at himself, all by himself there. And the mercy of God still came to him. God spoke to him when he was out in the desert. Didn't get him out of it. Then he goes to the cave. And God speaks to him again. And didn't get him out of his funk. He was just discouraged. He couldn't believe God. And then all of a sudden, God showed up on the scene. And the Spirit of God quickened his heart. Amen. And he realized that he served the God that brought fire down from heaven. He realized that he served the God that had worked miracles before. The God that had moved and worked. And we can say the same thing. The God that saved our heart. The God that moved in our family. The God that did this. The God that did that. The God that healed this one and brought this one through and did that miracle. And then the God that founded this church over 50 years ago. The God that still is saving and moving and working. And then we realize the pressure's not on us. We realize that it's not just us standing here all alone with the weight and the heaviness of the burden of sin upon us. Amen. And then we look to God and we hear the still small voice. What are you doing here, Elijah? And you know what? The interesting thing is Elijah responded the same way. But then God reminded him. Elijah says, I'm all here. I'm all alone, God. It's just me. But then Elijah's ears were open and God says, no, it's not just you. I've got a bunch of other prophets that are serving the Lord. And you need to get up from this spot and you need to go and keep serving God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, God, we thank you for the quickening of your Spirit. God, we thank you that your Spirit is life. Lord God, and you didn't wish or desire that any of us should just be stuck and bogged down, Lord. But the Spirit of God quickens us at times, gives us life, gives us hope, Lord. God, hope for tomorrow, hope, a belief in miracles. God, I ask you and I thank you for stirring us, God, for giving us hope, Lord. Hope that only comes from you, a belief to keep knocking. Amen. So let's get that determination in our heart today. Lord, I'm going to keep knocking. Lord, I'm going to keep pursuing you. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep holding on to the faith. Holding on, God, that is going to break. That is going to change. That you are going to bring a miracle. God, that you are the miracle worker, Lord. You are the miracle worker. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing this song. God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move. In many mighty ways. Amen. Do we know that song?
No.
No, we don't know that song. There was another song that was similar to that. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Amen. God's moving today. Amen. And I want to let him move in me. We can sing that one. Amen. The move is on, my Lord. The move.